Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. College football, as we know it, will never be the same. It will never be the same. And in the past, we've had some conference realignment here or there, but it hasn't been too over the top. And now, it's the two super leagues. It's the Big Ten and the SEC, and they're both one after another. We get two, okay, then we'll get two. All right, then we'll go get two more. Then we'll go get two as well. It's like a poker game, and all the other conferences are just kind of left trying to figure it out. The Big 12 is trying to take Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado, which is also funny that they're trying to take Colorado back, who left to go to the Pac-12 years ago. They're trying to take those four schools from the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is trying to find new schools. Oregon and Washington is looking for their way out, possibly to the Big Ten. Notre Dame is sitting out there as the hottest girl without a prom date. I mean, it is a lot. But I want everybody to know where this is headed. And I think sometimes you have to listen to the people that know the most and where they are talking and who they're talking to. So Kirk Herbstreit was on Mad Dog Radio on SiriusXM after the UCLA-USC news broke, and Kirk told you, and I think Kirk's got pretty good sources at ESPN who's pushing a lot of this, and I think Kirk's got pretty good sources in college football, and Kirk Herbstreit, and I just want to say this for the record. The reason, if you turn on the studio shows on ESPN and Fox, the reason they're all talking Kevin Durant and they're not talking this is because ESPN and Fox don't want their host talking about this. And the reason they don't want their host talking about this is because they're the ones that are doing this. Like, they're the ones that are behind all of this. It's what Fox wants. I talked to a source in college football that told me Fox was in the room.
Well, that was a point that I made either on Thursday or Friday. I don't remember what it was. But everyone was talking about two parties in this situation. USC and UCLA and the Big Ten. But nobody was talking about the most obvious player in all of this, Fox.
Yeah, it's Fox and ESPN.
Fox is the one that's collecting all the checks.
It's Fox and ESPN. Well, Fox is writing the checks. And if you're the ones writing the checks, then you're the one who gets final say with everything in life. You think that the coach of the Cleveland Browns is the one who wanted to go give Deshaun Watson a $240 million guaranteed contract?
No.
It was the owner. And he writes the check. So Fox and ESPN are writing the checks, so they're the ones that are driving this. They're telling the schools. There's an article on this on Awful Announcing where an athletic director spoke off the record, and he said that Fox and ESPN are saying, hey, you know, this school's worth $40 million to you, this school's worth $30 million to you, so what do you think? And that's what's happening here. And so TV's pushing this.
Yes.
And so instead of that, you're not going to see people on TV. They're not going to bring on, you know, the TV people, they're not going to bring Kirk Herbstreit on First Take to ask Herbie, hey, Herbie, is ESPN the one ruining college football? The networks are trying to distance themselves from the damage, but they know what they're doing. And so you got to kind of decipher what they're saying. Here's what Herbie said on Thursday about where college football is headed.
It's going to be the AFC and the NFC of college football. And you have, what, four divisions within each conference? You may have two or three divisions within each of these Big Ten and SEC conferences. And I think you'll see eventually them go to like a 12 or a 16 team playoff. And it's essentially going to be NFL football on Saturdays. I think,
wow.
I think that's where this thing's headed before it's all said and done.
Okay. Do you think Kirk is saying that like as this is what I think, or do you think that Kirk kind of knows this?
I think Kirk kind of knows this.
So I want to go back to something.
A lot of people kind of know this.
I want to go back to something Feinbaum said. This was June of last year. So this is before Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC. This is before USC and UCLA went to the Big Ten. And this is what Feinbaum said 1 year ago. And no, 13 months ago.
The problem with college football, they don't have any leadership. So what are they going to do? They're looking around going, who is doing this right? Where are all the eyeballs? Where's all the money? It's the NFL. That college football right now cannot compete with the NFL, even though they probably shouldn't be trying, but their numbers are inferior. So what they're going to do is just break the bank. They're going to open this thing up, and suddenly we're going to be talking about wild card games and home field advantage in college football playoff, just like we do with the NFL.
And then Kirk Herbstreit's telling you, It's going to be the NFL, two conferences, the AFC, the NFC divisions, 12-team, 16 playoff. Here you go. That's where this is headed. They know. Like, they know. Feinbaum knows. Because Feinbaum Talks is the direct link between the SEC and ESPN/Disney. Feinbaum's the link. You want to know how Feinbaum got that job? Because the SEC started the network and they told ESPN, hire that guy. So Feinbaum is as in as you can be on this.
Yeah.
He knows. Kirk is in on this. He knows. He's going to be calling these games. You don't think this came up? He's going to be calling NFL games on Thursday. If Herbie wanted to go to Fox to do their, and I don't know the exact contracts or whatever, but if he wanted to do the number one games on Fox instead of Greg Olson, my gut tells me he probably could. And so what happens is ESPN says, hey, don't go anywhere because this is what's going to happen to college football. And we'll let you do the Amazon Thursday. So you'll collect two checks and you'll get to do the NFL and you'll get to do an NFL playoff game. And this is what it's going to be in college. You're going to get the best game every single week because there's going to be two conferences. So you're going to get the best SEC or ACC or whatever's left game, and they're going to get the best Big Ten game. That's what this is. They know. So here's my question. Is this good for college football or not?
Well, it kind of depends on what you're prioritizing, because if you are somebody who values
fan interest,
I think it's ultimately a bad thing for fan interest.
I think it is too. And I'm going to tell you why. And you know me, I am not a tradition guy. I cannot wait till TV finally convinces the NFL to kick the Lions off of Thanksgiving. But while I am not a tradition guy, I also know that people do not like radical change.
No.
And this is absolutely radical.
Especially something that has been touted as being such a tradition. You know, we always say everything changes, but college football stays the same.
When
well,
you
that's
talk
not
about college
anymore.
Football, you can like hear Keith Jackson in your head, and he's been dead for 5 years. Like, that's how traditional college football is, and it's not a traditional bore like baseball has become. And I say this because I think for many reasons college sports is kind of a racket. Like, that's why I don't ever care about players getting paid or transfer portals, because I think the players have kind of been screwed over for a long time.
Yeah.
And so while I'm not one to sit there and say, you have to pay the players, because I believe in Title IX, and I don't think you can pay all the female athletes the same as you pay the football players, I do at the same time think that, like, you know, the players do deserve some money. So if you can find a way to legally do it, let's do it. But my issue with this is I just don't think that this is going to become minor league football. And I just don't think that people
well,
are
in a
going,
way, it already is.
It's always been minor league football. And this goes back to me saying that I think college football is a racket. Is for years, I've never understood this. That is, you can get millions and millions and millions and millions of people to watch minor league football. You can get whole towns across the country. States across the country. States that we live in or are close to. Where people prefer minor league football to major league football. I don't get it.
I honestly do. I prefer college football to the NFL.
Think about this. Would ESPN ever offer millions and millions and billions of dollars in order to broadcast the sounds playing the Gwinnett Stripers?
No, but they offered $3 billion for the SEC game.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, it's wild to me. And so
that also is the difference between football and everything else.
Yeah, but the USFL?
But that's different because
it sucks.
You don't have any sort of allegiance to the New Orleans Breakers.
And that's what that is where. And I'm not saying it's going to become the USFL, but that's the rub here, is that if we do this where we go to these divisions and wild card games and things like that, then people will, if you like Alabama, you'll always like Alabama and it'll always be the same. But as far as the masses are concerned with college football, there's going to be a lot of people in the Denver, Colorado area that probably got into it or had some rooting interest with rivalries and a conference that they believed in, or the Dallas area with TCU and Baylor. And now it's like, well, your games don't matter anymore. And I'm telling you, like, this to me is what's going to be bad for the fan interest. Is 10 years ago, every single college football game mattered, because if you lost one, you might be out.
It wasn't even just 10 years ago.
If you lost two.
Now.
If you lost two, you were definitely out.
Yeah.
You can lose two now, and you can still make it into the playoff. You can get away with that. You cannot.
Has any team lost two games and gotten into the playoff? Or
didn't Alabama lose two in 2018?
2018.
Or 2017? Where they were the fourth seed and Tua threw the touchdown pass in relief of Jalen Hurts?
I don't remember.
Because I want to say that they lost to Auburn, and I think they lost to somebody else that season. But
I don't remember.
You can get in. I mean, Ohio State has been either on the doorstep or in. I think somebody's gotten in with two losses. But you can legitimately, like, lose games, and they still, you know, you're much better than it was before, where in 2012, in order to win the title, Alabama didn't just need to win out. Alabama won every game after they lost to A&M when Johnny Football went crazy. And then they needed Baylor to lose. They needed Oklahoma State to lose. And they needed somebody else to lose. And they were lucky that Ohio State was on probation and wasn't bowl eligible, or else Ohio State would have gone. So now when you expand it, it doesn't make like each individual game as important, though they're still pretty important. You do this, where we got two Super Leagues and 16 teams, which means eight teams from the SEC are probably going to the playoff. These regular season games don't mean anything.
And they just don't bear as much weight as they do now. It's going to be the same thing as the NFL. You know, you lose five games and you're probably one of the best teams in the league.
But the NFL, and this goes back to like the basketball tournament, makes no sense to me that the basketball tournament is as popular as it is when most people around the country do not care about college basketball anymore. But as soon as that basketball tournament gets going,
oh, yeah,
everybody's ready and excited to watch the basketball tournament.
Because every game means
something. And everybody gets into it. What's going to happen here with college football is the regular season games that are drawing 6 million viewers are going to draw 3 million viewers instead. And it's going to be like college basketball because everybody makes it. 68 teams get in college basketball. And so it doesn't, if you have a team, you'll care. But most Americans do not care about the difference between a 2 seed and a 3 seed. Most Americans do not watch until they debut the brackets on CBS on that Sunday. And then on Thursday, everybody is in. And by the next week, everybody's an expert on all the teams that are left.
But I still think that the length of the college football season is doing college football a favor. Because in college basketball, I mean, how many games do you play?
A lot.
A lot. So if you lose 10 of them, like I said, you're probably one of the best teams in college basketball. I know that now in college football, there are more seats at the party with an expanded college football playoff and with larger conferences, but you still only have a 12-game season. So the difference between, you know, the fifth best team in the country and the 15th best team in the country historically is very, very negligible. It's a razor thin margin because everyone is playing 12 games.
Do you really think that's true though?
Well, if you lose 3 games versus 4 games, that's a big difference.
But do you think that the margin is really that small?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I absolutely don't. We've had the same 3 teams that make the playoff every year.
Well, if you look back at the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, the 10th best team in the country is like 11-2 with a bowl game win. So let's say 10-2 in the regular season. Well, you can be 10-2 and make the college football playoff or be on the outside. So let's say you're 5th and the 10th best team in the country is also 10-2. That's 5 teams that are separating, you know, and the same exact record between 5 and 10.
Yeah, but none of those teams are beating Alabama.
What does that have to do with it?
So once we get them in there, like you're talking about, like, you know, this will be great because there's parity, right? You're saying that the difference is so small,
well,
right?
No, I'm saying that you are saying that, you know, games don't matter anymore.
The regular season.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't agree because the margins are so razor thin because you have such a short season that every game is still going to matter. If you lose 3 games, no, you could still probably make the college football playoff. That's where that's different. But it's not like you can go out there and just poop the bed every week and expect to make the playoff. Regular season games still do matter.
Sure.
And seeding in an expanded playoff will matter.
But it won't matter because those teams can't win. Like, go back to the basketball tournament.
What do you mean they can't win?
The difference between the 68th team and the 69th team, every year, you got Dickie V after they released the brackets on it. Oh, it's awful that they didn't include Seton Hall. I mean, oh, baby, they were so good this year. And the committee didn't have a quadrant 3 victory, and that's why they didn't put them in a tournament. It's awful, baby. Every year, right?
Uh-huh.
What's the difference between that and 15, 16 in college football? Because that's what it's going to be. So, this one team lost three games, and this one team lost three games.
We still have those same conversations between 4 and 5.
And it will always happen.
It'll just be expanded.
It will always happen.
So it'll be the difference of strength of schedule and quality of losses. We'll have these same conversations.
I am not arguing.
There's just more teams.
I'm not arguing that the regular season won't matter. I'm saying it will matter significantly less.
Well, you could also look at it from the perspective of once you lose two games, you pretty much are out of the dance. And if you lose two games
Good.
In the first 8 weeks, then why do the next 4 weeks matter?
They don't. And then they don't play you.
So now they matter more. Because if you lose two games, you can still be in competition for the college football
and
playoff.
And maybe that works. But in a regional sport where people care about their team
it's
or
not
their
regional
conference.
Anymore. It's not regional anymore.
And that's a problem. You try to take something that's regional and make it national. Good luck.
Why?
Because imagine trying to take baseball national. Baseball doesn't even try to take baseball national anymore.
And that's part of the problem with baseball.
But how can they take it national? How can you take baseball national when you're adding all these teams in there? You want people to love their team because they're watching it every single day. But when you take it national, then where you want every game to matter, then what you have to do is you almost have to show the same four teams over, which is essentially what's going to happen here. Where they're only going to show the same four or five teams. And that's why the two networks just want, they just want USC
but again,
to play Ohio State once
a week. But again,
how
different is that from
now? I think it's big now. To go to conference championship weekend. Hold on this. We'll get it on the other side. But I do think of conference championship weekend. And I want to pick it up right there. And then promise some phones. And then Trevor at 430-615-737-1025, Stillman and Company at 1025 The Game.
Don't be surprised if the SEC starts looking a little bit further down the road than maybe just Austin, Texas, or Norman, Oklahoma, because this dance for supremacy kind of has just begun.
That's Rick Neuheisel saying, hey, don't look at that. They may go more west out there at the SEC. On my SiriusXM show yesterday and for Pat McAfee, I do want to say this. We were talking about, again, making college football two super conferences like the AFC and the NFC, and essentially having 8 or 6 teams from each of those two conferences go to the playoffs. And I'll give you an example where it makes individual games matter less. The conference championship game. So right now, on almost any given year, 4 of the 5 conference championship games have serious juice to it.
Oh, yeah.
And even if it's not, you know, you're going to get 4 teams from one conference, there is a chance that one team knocks out another team. And then you get a second team from the SEC, or you get a Cincinnati.
Exactly what happened last year with Alabama and Georgia. Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama probably does not get into the college football playoff.
Exactly. Just like that. Well, now your SEC and your Big Ten championship game don't matter because those teams are, but all 4 of them are going.
Well,
right.
Not necessarily true because ESPN and Fox are going to want to make those conference championship games matter as much as possible. So I think that it'll be, I know it already is kind of like an automatic bid situation. So it'll be a first round bye kind of situation. Or I think that they will find some way to make the conference championship games matter. So it's not just like you throw in your backup because you're in no matter what kind of situation.
The NFL always makes the last Sunday night football game of the year. They try to make it the most meaningful game.
Uh-huh.
They always want it to be a play-in game. If their option is a play-in game or a gets a first round bye, first round game, but both teams make the playoffs or the team that's going for it's going to make the playoffs, they will take the play-in game even if it is the Titans and the Colts with Mariota at quarterback. They will take that. But you're automatically getting rid of that with the conference championships. Like, again, if you're going to get 6 teams and you're doing away with divisions, which they're doing, so you're having one playing two, they're going to the playoff anyway. So you're already knocking that. Then the other 3 conference championship games don't matter at all.
Why?
If I've got 8 teams from each conference that are going to the playoff, in the Super Conference,
okay,
and everybody else is out.
Are we talking about if a conference or if the college football playoff is 4 teams, if it's 8 teams?
I mean,
or however many teams.
Herbie said it's going to be 12 or 16.
Okay,
so it's either 6 and 6 or 8 and 8. If these are the Super Conferences, the AFC, the NFC, then they're not putting the Birmingham Stallions in the NFL playoffs this season. So it is, you know, if this is the way it's going to be Big Ten and SEC. So now ESPN has, I believe, three premium championship games. No, I think they have two. They have the ACC, and the they have the Big 12 or the Pac 12, which options every other year.
I'm sorry, SEC, CBS, but they CBS will ha- they
has
will
the
have
and they will have that
SEC,
and then Fox has the Big Ten.
Yep,
and then Fox has the other one that is not ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now those three don't matter, and your two don't matter. So now, the conference championship weekend that's drawing, you know, 15 million viewers a game. Are you really going to get 15 million viewers when there's not that much on the line?
Well, then maybe it's not a conference championship game anymore. Maybe the conference champion is the team with the best record at the end of the season. And that final game of the season, which normally would be conference champion weekend, is a play-in game.
So now you're going to put, instead of Alabama, instead of Ohio State versus USC for the Big Ten championship, you're going to put... Who are some of these?
Well, to your point, if it's Ohio State, USC, why does it matter? Because they're both going to the college football playoff anyway.
That's my point. But so instead, we're going to put who's the sixth best team? Who are the sixth and seventh best teams in the Big Ten? Iowa.
Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa.
So we're going to have Iowa, Minnesota as our premium game?
Well, and then that's why I'm saying, because it doesn't sound like a great idea, but then why don't you incentivize conference champions then? So the first round of the college football playoff, because if you expand to 12 teams, you're going to have several rounds of the college football playoff. The conference champions get a first round bye.
No, you might be right. I'm just telling you that it's not going to be the same as Alabama playing for a playoff spot in the championship game.
No, I'm saying that that's what was the proposal for the 12-team playoff was
byes and home
byes
field
for four of the five Power Five conferences. And so the top four, they get first round byes. So that's something to play for. No, you're not playing for a spot in the playoff.
But wouldn't all those teams get the byes? If you're getting four byes in a 12-team playoff.
But this was in the model of a Power Five.
I know, but...
So you could say that
there... You'd have to give, if you had four byes, you'd have to give the byes to the teams that had the best records, which would be the two teams that are playing in the SEC in the Big Ten championship game.
Well, then it would be probably...
So now I'm going to go to the Big Ten championship game, and if I was third, then I would get a bye, because if I lose the Big Ten championship game, then I don't get a bye.
If I lose the Big Ten championship game, I don't get a bye. Correct. You don't get a bye.
But two teams from the Big Ten have to get a bye.
Well, I'm saying the four byes were constructed under a Power Five conference. If there's two super conferences, then two teams get a bye, and the remaining 10 teams play each other. So there has to be... In a 12-team playoff. So let's say there's two super conferences in a 12-team playoff.
You'd have to have two byes on each side.
Why?
Because you'd have too many teams for rounds. Like, that's why the NFL cut a bye when they added a team. But it's because...
No, you would have two... If let's say it's a 12-team playoff. You have two byes for the conference champion, for the SEC Mega and the Big Ten Mega.
Okay.
So you have 10 teams left that will play for the remaining spots.
Okay, so then you have five games going on at one time.
Yeah.
So then you'll have five teams remaining, and your bye that'll have six. Then you've got three teams on each side of the bracket. So the two teams win a game, and then what do they have, a round robin?
I don't know.
And my whole point is, this whole thing that we're talking about, we think this is good for college football?
Well, I mean, this isn't going to happen.
But
it could.
It's going to be something. I want to get Weston's call in on this before we get to Trevor. Weston, thank you for calling. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I was listening to the show and everything, and I like what y'all are going with here on the college football playoffs. I'm sitting here listening, and I really do believe that if you decided to bring in a playoff with an ASC, NFC type setup, go to a 24 team. And the reason why is basically you create 12 teams on one side, 12 on the other, and then do like College World Series, college softball does, in a double elimination. And basically the losers will flip to the other side of the bracket, play losers, and then you have the winners play winners until you get one winner and one loser out of the elimination bracket, and then a best of three series for the national championship, like college baseball.
Could you
imagine? Fans love the College World Series.
I got you, Weston. Thank you for your call. Could you imagine going to Roger Goodell and saying, hey, Why don't we do this with the NFL?
That's so not feasible to do in a sport where you have to have a week's rest. You can do this in baseball because you can play five consecutive games
you
in baseball.
You need 3 months to get it through the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a 12-month-long college football playoff. I hear his point.
Football,
but
football is that it's one game, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's one game, and Ryan Tannehill sucked in the one game.
And that's why he didn't
even
play for the Super Bowl.
You're better. Let's just say they play the next week. The Titans and the Bengals play the next week at Nissan Stadium. Who are you picking?
Bengals.
Ian.
What was the question again? I apologize.
Titans and Bengals play again a week after the Titans lost to the Bengals. Who wins?
That is a good question. Cincy.
See, I think it would have been the Titans. But guess what? It doesn't matter because you don't.
But I think the college football playoff should be you lose, you're out.
Yes, because that's football. Anything that is football playoff, you don't get to play again.
No.
That should be cemented as
not
like,
just because that's just how it is, but also because there's not enough time in the year to play several games in a playoff.
That should be 9-0 in any Supreme Court, including this one. Like, it should be 9-0 that football playoff means you lose, you're out. No matter what
level. Our Supreme Court is 9-0.
High school, college, the NFL, the USFL.
There's just no time to lose twice. There's not enough time.
Trevor, up next, his thoughts on all of this. Plus, I talked to an industry source, and I got some interesting stuff, especially as far as the ACC is concerned. I want to get Trevor's thoughts on that. And we'll do that next right here, Stillman & Company on 102.5 The Game. I was so happy last week. I was on vacation. Titans season is right around the corner. Training camp is like 20 days away. Titans season's around the corner. I'm on vacation, having a great time, just enjoying myself. And then I see USC and UCLA are headed to the Big Ten. And then as you started to look at the dominoes, you realize, oh no. And then I saw Kirk Herbstreit. It's going to be like the NFL. Two conferences, the AFC and the NFC, and it's probably going to be however many, 24 teams or whatever, and the top eight from each conference are going to go to the playoffs, and it's going to be expanded, and it's going to be this and that. And I just thought to myself, oh, no. Just like last time when everybody got rich with conference realignment, but we ruined basketball in the process, we're probably going to ruin the regular season of college football with this, but I'm sure some people will be happy, and everybody will make their money, including Rutgers, who I don't think has done anything to grace the Big Ten with anything, but somehow they got a seat at the table 10 years ago, and they're enjoying their steak dinner. Trevor Maddich joins us now, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, you played this sport. You cover this sport. You're one of the foremost experts at ESPN on this sport. Do you hate the scenario that we're looking with college football as much as I do?
I don't hate it. I think I'm a little nervous about how disruptive it's going to be. But the reason I don't hate it is because, first of all, it was inevitable. The only way to stop this from happening or something like it from happening would be to artificially suppress people's opportunities, both teams, conferences, and individual college football players. And I don't want to do that. So it's going to be hugely disruptive, but I don't hate it. I am very excited about some of the potential possibilities that could pop up that didn't exist before that will now, to kind of replace some of the things that a lot of people hate are going to be gone. But I don't hate it, but at the same time, I feel like I'm dancing through barbed wire barefoot, and you got to be real careful because things are going to be awfully crazy for a while.
Okay. I talked to a source who told me that the grant of rights in the ACC through 2036 is so strong, and challenging it in court would be so risky that they don't see an ACC team being willing to do that. So while the SEC would probably love to go grab North Carolina, and I think if you take Carolina, you probably have to take Duke, and they would love to grab Virginia, and I'm sure that the Big Ten would love to grab either Florida State or Miami and would probably love to grab Clemson. I don't know if they can do this. The Big 12 is making their move to go get Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. That doesn't really move the needle for me much. The Pac-12, who knows? Trev, what do we make of the other three conferences right now?
Well, you mentioned the ACC in particular. I think contracts could be renegotiated. And one thing that I can be certain of happening, or at least as certain as I can be, is that in 2036, when the ACC grant of rights is up, if the conference forces everybody to stay, everybody who can leave will. And the ACC will no longer exist as a football conference, unless they want to bring in Charlotte and, you know, some teams like that. And because people will be so mad that the ACC held them to it when everybody else is making double and more, then I think you're going to see the ACC set themselves up for a nice continuity for the next, you know, 10, 12 years, 14 years, and then just be gone. Because if I'm Clemson, Florida State, Miami, those schools that you mentioned, and if the ACC the SEC expresses to me that, hey, we're playing long ball here, we want to bring you guys in as soon as your grant of rights allow it, whether it's a renegotiation or whether they just expire in 2036. If I'm those schools, there's nothing the ACC can tell me that'll get me to stay. And so I would be thinking that the ACC might not be as locked in for as long as a lot of people think, because it may be better for the ACC as a conference to negotiate an out for the teams that want to go at less of a penalty on the grant of rights. The teams that stay won't get as much of a penalty put into their coffers, but it's much more likely that more teams will stay and the ACC will exist going on after that. So I don't know what's going to happen with the ACC. I'm not as certain as some other people are. To me, the big thing here, Jared, is in terms of what happens to Notre Dame and the other conferences, really comes down to this. Does the expanded Big Ten and SEC move forward and create their own top-tier division where they have their own playoffs, you know, like the AFC and NFC in their own version of the Super Bowl, where they have their own commissioner, because now you've got teams that are more closely aligned in terms of their resources and their, you know, philosophies, more closely certainly than all of division, you know, the football bowl subdivision right now. You couldn't have a commissioner for that. It's too disparate. They would likely have a CBA, a collective bargaining with the players, where the players would get some form, not just of NIL expansion, but also of revenue sharing with the broadcast partners, all those different things. If they do that, then everybody else is left out and nobody else besides those two conferences are going to have a claim to a national championship. They'll have their own playoff, but Notre Dame will be forced to join one of those conferences and the others will be playing for the title of best of the rest. If they don't separate completely and go their own separate way with their own championship scenario, then for fans, there won't be a whole lot of difference except for some logos changed on some jerseys and some opponents will be shaken up, some rivalries will be shaken up. But other than that, we still have a national playoff with maybe 12 teams and everybody's still got access to it. So to me, the thing for fans to watch is, does it look like the expanded Big 12 and SEC will break off, form their own division outside of the NCAA with their own commissioner and their own playoff scenario? If that does not happen, then everybody's still involved. If that does happen, then nobody else is involved.
So I have a theory behind this. Trevor Maddox is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. I think the bosses of college football are also your bosses, Trev. Like, I think that ESPN and Fox are both pushing this kind of in the same direction, and then whoever ends up with the rights to the playoff when the next rights agreement comes up, I think is going to be the one that calls all the shots on this. And I use ESPN as the example. We were talking about this before you came on, which was, if I'm ESPN, and I've looked at the college football TV ratings, and I know what this is all about. This is all about getting USC versus Ohio State on the schedule and getting, you know, 13 million viewers to watch that regular season game. This is about getting, you know, Texas versus Alabama and getting 15 million viewers to watch that kind of game. I get it. But what are you doing to the other games that you have, and especially the conference championship games that you have, if what you're saying happens? Because let's say the SEC and the Big Ten break off. So the SEC has, you know, six slots in the playoff, and the Big Ten has the other six slots in the real playoff. Well, now you've ruined the Big Ten and the SEC championship games because both those teams are in the playoff. And the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12, their championship games don't matter at all either. Well, that doesn't sound like it's a good idea. I know you're getting Ohio State versus, USC, but you're just absolutely murdering the Pac-12 championship game, which has had some serious playoff ramifications over the year, Trev. That doesn't seem
right,
like it makes a lot of sense to me.
That's why before all this happened, and it may still be the case, why I like the 12-team playoff with automatic bids for each conference champion. Because of that exactly, I mean, you might have a new coach, a young quarterback, some injuries, lose a couple of games early, and be completely out of the national discussion for the rest of the season before September's over. That happens every year to somebody, somewhere. And so to me, a lot of those teams are back in the mix if you allow for more access, like you're talking about, have, you know, a multi-tier playoff in each of those two big Power 2 conferences now, if that's the way it works out. You're right. The winner of the conference championship game may end up with seeding benefits, much like in the NFL. But whether or not they get into the playoffs is a foregone conclusion. But what that does is it pushes the interest down farther. So those teams that might be 7th, 6th, 8th, they're in that vicinity, 5th, you know, in a 6-team scenario like you mentioned. Fan bases there know that they still have a chance to get in, even though they've lost 2 games, 3 games, and they don't tune out. They keep watching because, guys, we can still make it in. We're healthy now. We're doing good. We're getting hot. And we can make it into the bottom of the playoff and still have a chance. So what you've done is you've diminished, in some ways, the conference championships from a standpoint of who gets into the playoff. But you elevate the interest for more teams that in November still have a chance to make that new dance. And as far as the conference championship goes, you can still maintain the value there from a playoff standpoint. You know, conference championship is always valuable, but you can still make the conference championship still have value with seeding. You know, if Georgia and Alabama are playing for the SEC championship, they're both going to be in the playoff. But one of them is going to have home field advantage next time they play.
But Trev, you know as well as I do, and you've called these games before, even at the NFL, they want that last week of the year. They want one game like the Raiders versus the Chargers last year, where the winner goes on and the loser goes home, because those games rate so much better than, you know, if the Packers beat the Vikings, then the Packers are the division winner and host at home, and the Vikings have to go to Dallas. Like, you know as well as I do, the play into the playoff is much better, much more viewed than the other way around.
That's true, but then 2 weeks later, you've got exactly what you're talking about, the playoff where it's win or go home. So you're just delaying that by a week.
Trevor Maddich is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. This is what I'm going to ask Trev on the other side. What does he think is going to happen, and what should happen? And we'll get to that coming up next, right here on 102.5 The Game.
It's going to be the AFC and the NFC of college football. And you have, what, 4 divisions within each conference? You may have 2 or 3 divisions within each of these Big Ten and SEC conferences. And I think you'll see eventually them go to like a 12 or a 16-team playoff. And it's essentially going to be NFL football on Saturdays. I think that's where this thing's headed before it's all said and done.
That was Herbie on the SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio. Trevor Maddich is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. I hate that, because what Herbie just said is not college football. It is not what at least college football has been. And people will tell me, well, you got to grow with the times, Jared. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think a lot of people like the Rose Bowl. It was a meaningless game last year, and 17 million people watched it. Trev, I have a simple question for you. What do you think is going to happen, the future of college football, and what do you think should happen as far as the future of college football is concerned?
Well, Jared, I'll start with should first. I'd really like to see the SEC and Big Ten kind of temper the expansion now and keep everybody involved in a playoff. I would love to see the negotiations restart for the 12-team playoff, give access to everybody around the country, and let the chips fall where they may. I would like to see that happen. What I think will happen is a continuation of self-interest. Because what's been going on is conferences and individual schools have said, look, it is in our interest to move. It's in our interest to add. It's in our interest to deceive while we're in the process of doing that. And I think that's what we're going to continue to see. And so what I think will happen is I think the Big 12 and SEC will continue to pluck off the most viable schools that are still available, they'll move away from the NCAA. The NCAA won't be involved even in recruiting or academics with football with those two conferences. They'll be done. I think they will have their own commissioner, their own collective bargaining agreements with players, and I think they will form their own upper division. I think that is what's going to happen. For the teams that are not a part of that, I think in a lot of ways it's bad because they don't have access to the national championship, but very few teams really did have access to that national championship playoff anyway, right? And what this will do is create a whole new tier of playoff and championship possibilities that now makes itself available to teams that never had a chance before, because now the Alabamas, Ohio States, Georgias, all the rest of them are off in their own tier. And so other teams will have a much better chance to at least get into that. Think of it like March Madness versus the NIT. So what I think will happen is a completely
So you're going to tell me that we're going to be having, you know, the Big 12 and the ACC essentially playing one AA football?
Yep.
Oh.
It's still going to be watched. It's still going to be good football. And the inventory of games doesn't really expand that much. I mean, the playoff might get a little bit bigger. In terms of the SEC and the Big 12, or excuse me, the Big 10 and all that. But overall, there's not going to be that many more games in the inventory for broadcast partners to put on the air or to stream.
Clemson versus William and Mary, 2 o'clock on ESPNU.
No, listen, that games on ESPN on Tuesday and Wednesday nights get great ratings because people love to watch football. Well, there won't be all these extra Big 12 and SEC games to be thrown up on Tuesday night. It's the same amount of teams. And so unless they expand the regular season, there's not going to be really more games in the regular season. And so it'll still be that. Plus, we haven't seen the full effect, Jared, of what it might look like for streaming companies to come in and truly get into bidding wars. Because right now, Amazon Prime and Netflix and Disney Plus and Peacock and all the rest of them, what they have is original content that people binge watch and old content that people binge watch. If somebody goes out there and says, we're making a play for live sports because you can't binge watch live sports, that could be a big difference maker and that could draw in more bidding. So we don't know what's going to happen. There's a finite number of games available. You got the SEC and the Big Ten, right? But then you've got, if they're locked up, you're going to have a bunch of people possibly bidding for the ACC and the Big 12 and what remains of the Pac 12 and the Mountain West and the rest of it. Why not?
That's what losers do. Like, that's what baseball does. Baseball's like, hey, let's put Yankee playoff games on FS1. Would the NFL ever put a Dallas Cowboy playoff game on FS1?
If FS1 paid the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys, yeah.
No.
Listen, you give me the money and off we go. Remember when original content started being created on Netflix and on some of the streaming things? Big actors were going over there, and a lot of people thought, you know, why is Kevin Spacey going over to do whatever that show was, House of Cards, right? Sure. Why is he doing that on some startup? Nobody owns that. Nobody watches it, whatever, because they were getting paid a lot of money, and it was good quality content, and the next thing you know, it became an avalanche. And so we don't know what that's going to look like going forward. It's just that we know that people love live football games, live college football games. And if we get the streaming companies start to really dive in, then even though they won't be in that top tier, the remaining tier in the FBS is still going to make more money than they did before, most likely, and they will still have good football to be shown. And so it's not like it's a consolation prize, although it kind of is. I'm not saying it's good necessarily. What I'm saying is that there's going to be opportunities for everybody. They might not be the opportunities you want, but the opportunities will be there.
I hope the NFL starts playing on Saturday if this is what happens. I swear to you. Like, I mean, what you just laid out to me, Carolina constantly accuses me of hating college football.
And it's true.
I do think that that where we're headed is about to push me over the edge.
Yeah, but how do you stop it, though, Jared? How do you stop it?
I don't know. I'll tell you what.
The one to say, it's okay, your, yeah, Trev, you're not going to sign with Netflix.
Trev, it's your bosses. They're the ones that, and I have a theory behind this, you know, if you're okay with me going here, which is I think that there's a reason why on the Fox studio shows and the ESPN studio shows over the last week, they've dedicated 99.9% of their programming to Kevin Durant. And I think it's because they don't want ESPN and Fox people talking about how ridiculous what they're doing to college football is, but that's exactly what's happening, and I think ESPN's the one behind it, and I think that this is ESPN and Sankey that decided to take Texas and Oklahoma away from Fox, and then Fox got mad, so they got UCLA and USC, which is half ESPN, half not. But, I mean, it's really going to, you know, it's going to go nuclear for the ACC and the other conferences.
Tell everybody, yeah, it will, you're right. Tell everybody what a Model T is for people that don't know. A
Ford it's an Model old car.
T. It's an old car. It was the first real successful mass production car back in the 1920s or whatever it was,
sure.
Right? And guess what? Technology improved. Companies came in, including Ford itself, and improved on it. So they ruined the Model T, didn't they? No, they make cars better. And so, yeah, some things are going to get ruined and pass away into the past, but other opportunities are going to show up and things are going to be pretty cool. Now, college football can ruin itself, but not by maximizing its income potential. They can ruin itself by trying to maximize football income potential by moving away from what makes college football different from the NFL. If they go into a place where college football players don't really have to go to school, you know, where they lose the connection between the universities and the student bodies and the players, they lose those things, then you'll be looking at college football turning into a better branded USFL. And I think that would not enhance their earning potential. So there are certain self-limitations that college football will need to make sure they maintain in order to maximize what's made college football great, even as they move away from some of the traditions of college football.
Trevor Maddich is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. Do you think we're going to start kicking out of these teams that don't carry their weights, like Indiana, Rutgers, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Minnesota? Do you think Illinois, do you think we're going to kick them out, or do you think that they're safe?
I don't think they will just because of contracts, but I think if you look at the interest in it, you talk about the interest in who wins the conference championship, right? That there's interest there. Sure. There will be interest in the bottom tier of the playoff and who gets in at the very end. You create a whole nother level of macabre interest at the bottom if you have relegation, much like English Premier League soccer, where, you know, you've got the bottom two teams of one of the super conferences that are playing the last game of the year, and the loser gets bounced down to the MAC, and the MAC champion gets put up, right? There would be massive ratings on a game at the end of the season that nobody otherwise cares about. You know, the question is, can they do it contractually? I'd love to see it, but I don't know that they can actually get away with it.
Boy, I tell you what, that'd be crazy if they kick Vandy out of the SEC. Trevor Maddich, as always, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, I know your heart's in the right place. I just hope you're wrong. You're right.
Help me out, Caroline.
I'm trying, Trev. I will carry this fight for the full 60 minutes. I promise you that.
Listen, if Louisville gets invited to the Big Ten, Jared will totally change his mind.
That's just not going to happen. Like, there's no way we're getting into the Big Ten, and there's no way we're getting into the SEC, and we're done. I watched how the football thing, because we got to have Syracuse in the ACC because of New York. I watched how it ruined the best basketball conference that we had in America. And so everybody made their money, but we got
still
screwed.
Playing against each other. You lose some of the rivalries. And, I mean, I missed the backyard brawl. That's coming back, and all that comes back sometimes. But it's
Cal and UCLA?
Oh, boo. Who?
Oklahoma,
listen,
Nebraska?
Oklahoma. Nebraska-Oklahoma football used to be appointment watching. It used to
I
be
know.
Good versus evil, right?
I
and
know.
It went away, and it's sad. What?
Ugh.
Who?
Well,
yeah,
I'll be really excited for my UCLA-Illinois football games this year.
Oh, well, there you go. That's
well,
where,
think
if
about USC-Ohio State.
The one game, which we could have had in the playoff anyway if USC would ever be any good. Oh, it's awful. Trevor Maddich, as always. Trev, appreciate you, bud.
Oh, man, I'm going to send a donation to Louisville. I feel bad for you now.
There you go. Trevor Maddich joining us on the program. I want to react to what Trevor said. I want to get your phones on it. 615-737-1025. I'm not mad at Trev, but I didn't like what I heard there. We'll get to that. Stillman and Company on 102.5 The Game.